All right. Well, it's my great pleasure this morning to introduce Tim Blank to you, and he's going to tell us more about Tower Gardens. Let me read his bio, and it's quite impressive. He currently serves as the president of Future Growing and Green Earth Building Group. Growing up in a rural farm community in western Dakotas, he gained a great appreciation for agriculture and the land we all steward. Having a passion for both agriculture and science, Mr. Blank graduated in 92 with a degree in horticulture and greenhouse management. In 93, Mr. Blank was employed by Walt Disney World Company as an advanced intern at the Land's hydroponic greenhouses. After his six-month internship, he spent the next 6 years conducting research at every horticultural discipline under controlled environmental agriculture. He also served as a research liaison for the Department of Energy and National Aeronautics and Space Administration, that would be NASA, partnership with Walt Disney World. This collaborative research focused on multiple environmental factors that affect plant health and the use of remote sensing instrumentation. As a result, this research has been used to aid in the detection of plant stress in various hydroponic growing systems. In 2000, he accepted the position of chief horticulturist and greenhouse manager of the Land Pavilion at Epcot. He managed four hydroponic biomes over a two-acre area consisting of tropical, temperate, productive, and innovative greenhouses. To further support the operations of the facility, he also managed a team of a team comprised of scientists and advanced horticultural interns. Mr. Blank has also co-authored several papers pertaining to the extensive collaborative research at the land. He traveled the U.S. and abroad speaking on the research at Disney while bringing back the latest technologies and concepts to the land. He's accredited for implementing innovative advances in technology as well as new growing concepts and techniques that have strengthened the land's world class status. Well known in the hydroponic community, he's a popular keynote speaker at conventions and conferences. In June of 2005, Mr. Blank left the Walt Disney World Company and partnered with several other international experts in the hydroponic field to launch a one-of-a-kind company called Future Growing. Future Growing is a hydroponics consulting firm and supply company that is dedicated to growing healthy food by utilizing aeroponic technology to grow under any condition in the world. Future Growing has three main areas of focus that include commercial aeroponics tower farms, rooftop tower garden farms, and family farms utilizing the tower garden technologies. Many families today are concerned with the poor nutrition in their food, pesticides, and atmospheric contaminants such as acid or toxic rain. Mr. Blank and his team provide solutions by teaching families and urban communities how to be self-sufficient by growing all of their own pesticide-free fruits and vegetables in a vertical hydroponic or hydroorganic system year-round. The vertical growing technologies, along with liquid plant nutrients that Mr. Blank has developed, allow people to produce healthy and nutritious food in a fraction of the time and effort it takes with conventional gardening. Most importantly, this advanced way of growing ignores the change of seasons, and food is grown in an environmentally controlled greenhouse throughout the entire year. With concern for our environment and knowledge of future energy costs, Future Growing is a strong advocate of energy independence, utilizing high-efficiency wind and solar technology to power greenhouses, urban farms, and homes. Mr. Blank currently serves as president of Future Growing and is dedicated to reintroducing healthy food to the American family. Mr. Blank also serves as the president of Green Earth Building Group, a company dedicated to creating green communities and commercial buildings that feed themselves. Now, that was a long bio. I was going to try to shorten it, but I just felt that it was really important for all of you to know what an expert we have on our hands this morning. And, Tim, welcome so much to the call, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I'll let you sort of give your perspective on some of the discussions that we've had have been totally fascinating for me around conventional growing versus, you know, your philosophy behind the Tower Gardens, and then we can take questions from the group. So
sure.
Take it away.
And Mitra, since this is my first round on this type of a call, feel free to, ask me the questions that you think would be pertinent to this conversation. One of the newest things that wasn't on the bio that was left out there is, most of you know, I believe, Juice Plus has acquired the Tower Garden technology and formed a new company called Tower Garden LLC, which is a sister company to Juice Plus, and they'll more or less be working together and synergistically, and I serve as chief technology officer for that new company, and most everybody else on that company has come over from Juice Plus and sharing credentials and backgrounds in both areas. So we're currently in the process of trying to create a technology that's modeled and marketed after around the Juice Plus formula. But a little bit about myself, why I got into this, guys, is I'd always been, as Mitra had mentioned in my bio, I'd always been passionate about growing healthy food. And goodness, I can tell you, growing up in Michigan or Wisconsin or the Dakotas, and you'll know that your growing season is really limited, and the soil's rocky and not very nutritious in a lot of areas. And then moving to Florida, you live in a place like Florida, and you'll find that we just pretty much have sand here. It's full of nematodes and all kinds of pathogens that will literally wipe out your garden in the spring, summer, and fall in Florida in a matter of days. And so hydroponics had always interested me. And I would have to say that one of the key things that I took away at the land that really inspired me to develop this technology was the thousands. I mean, every day we had probably, you know, anywhere from 5,000 to 15,000 people come through on a boat flume through those the hydroponic greenhouses at Epcot. And we also did backstage walking tours. Each one of the science staff at that facility was required to do an hour-long backstage tour to people like yourself, scientists, researchers, professors, and the average day homeowner. And the one key thing that each one of them said, almost each one of them when they left one of those hour-long walking tours, wow, that was fascinating. That's amazing. I'm inspired, you know, how we can grow vegetables, but how the heck can I do this in my own business, in my own backyard? And just, you know, I kind of scratched my head saying, you know, this is a whole new business that Disney doesn't want to have anything to do with. And so that's really what inspired the formation of Future Growing. And as Mitra had mentioned, I had partnered with several industry experts, you know, around the world that also had a background in hydroponic growing. And because one person doesn't have all the answers, it takes a group of people learning different things in different areas to bring the best of the best together. And that's really how Future Growing was built, and that's really how we designed the Tower Garden. We wanted to be able to gardening is difficult for a lot of people. And let me talk to you about my philosophy on gardening for a moment and the Tower Garden. I promote every type of gardening out there. When I was 9 years old, I was kind of the green sheep of the family, and that I started my own organic garden, and no one else was interested in gardening in the family. And I started out with incredibly rocky, sandy Western North Dakota soil, and learn how to build that up into good organic matter. So I believe in outdoor gardening, and it's fun and enjoyable. However, the majority of people in the United States today don't have access to good garden soil. The elderly can no longer bend and till and weed and grow a garden, and there's millions of elderly today living in by themselves in homes or assisted living. And also in many areas, water is very limited. There's water restrictions. I know in Florida, in most places in Florida, we're down to watering once or twice a week. A garden will not survive in the Florida heat without watering schedule. So this is really what the Tower Garden technology is all about, empowering people to grow healthy, clean, sustainable food right in the comfort of their own backyard. Mitra, what are you interested in talking about next? or hearing from me?
Well, I know that in introducing Tower Gardens to people that have been in the hydroponic industry, one of the first questions that comes up for people is, what kind of fertilizer are you using? Is it organic? And I understand a little bit about how to answer that now, but I'd like you to share with people when you get a question from somebody who's been involved in hydroponics about the kind of fertilizers being used or the solutions being used, what is the best way to answer that, and what is the distinction?
Well, that's a fantastic question, and that's kind of there's a lot of information that goes into that question. One of the key things is when organic standards were developed by the federal government, which, by the way, it's the only federally, you know, regulated food system out there is the organic, federal national organic standards for hydroponic growing, or excuse me, for just conventional field agriculture. It was never designed for a hydroponic greenhouse, and so when they came up with these, you know, at one time back in history, each state had their own organic certification process, and so one state was easier than the next, and basically the organic farmers demanded that the federal government come up with some type of standard. So the guy in Arizona who might have had half the standard as someone in California wasn't shipping stuff across the state line, and that made a lot of sense. But what happened was that for most organic growers on the West and East Coast, back when it really was taking root, the concept was sustainability. The concept was, I grow my chickens and my cows over here, or my neighbor does. I take that animal waste, I compost it, I put it in the ground. And I think when the national standards came in, they couldn't really limit the sustainability side, more or less what went into it. So what they did is they said that, you know, the fertilizers have to come from a plant or animal base. And of course, in hydroponic systems, we use earth minerals. We can't have organic sludge floating around in water. It'll rot and it'll stink. And plants have 16 major macro and trace elements they require. And whether those come from earth minerals or whether those come from minerals that end up coming from organic matter, it's irrelevant. A plant can absorb nitrate, nitrogen, and ammonical nitrogen, for example. And so the key difference between field organics and hydroponics is that at least in the Tower Garden anyway, we utilize mainly earth minerals, which are minerals refined in their purest form. That way we know exactly what's going into the plant and exactly in the right formulation to get what we want to get out of the plant. Now, you also mentioned, comments from a traditional hydroponic grower. Traditional hydroponics follows a much different paradigm than what we do at Future Growing. Digging into my background a little bit, when I was at Walt Disney World, we were doing research for astronauts in space. And part of our research, the focus was to develop mineral solutions that would put more nutrients into the plant health, you know, hence making a healthier plant ultimately for the astronauts in space, because their food source is obviously very limited. And as I got into this research and really paid close attention to it, I asked a simple question of, why aren't we doing this in agriculture, as I learned how to do this? And the answer came back for most people, well, I guess we've never done it because we don't have to. But also, agriculture is very price point based. Whether it's organic or conventional, farming isn't a high profit venture, and people put the least amount of money into getting a crop. So in relation to conventional hydroponics, they tend to use a lot more chemical based type components. If you go into any conventional hydroponic store, you will see that you will need, if you want to buy one of their kits, they got a kit over here for lettuce, then got a kit for the bay crops, then they've got an organic juice, and they've got a conventional hydroponic juice, and you have to have a separate juice for seeding and a young plant and a vegetative plant and then a flowering plant. and they've got about 60 different bottles literally in a hydroponic store, and they've got you convinced that you have to buy a different bottle for every crop almost, and at whatever stage it's growing. And one of our goals with the tower garden from day one was the challenge with hydroponics is that it had never been plug and play. It had never been just that simple in the world of hydroponics, and it was also extremely expensive. To if you look at the cost of the nutrients and how weak they are in relationship to the tower tonic, you'll see it's quite an expensive venture when you go into the hydroponic store. So our goal, one of our key goals, was to develop a system with the seeds that you could open it up, Mitra, and without having a bunch of expensive electronic equipment to test conductivity and pH and all this stuff, that a homeowner in 30 minutes could set this up and have a system growing in that short amount of time. And the one nutrient solution they use would work well for tomatoes, for flowers, for lettuces, for cucumbers, whatever crop they wanted to grow from this time they start till the time they finish. And that's really what we did with the tower tonic, is rich, abundant ionic earth minerals that are important for plant growth. And those minerals, for those of you on the call that don't know much about, you know, what plants use, would be nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, calcium, magnesium, sulfur, and trace minerals like boron, chlorine, manganese, molybdenum, zinc. These are all essential for good, healthy plant growth. But in addition to that, we have a wide range of trace minerals that are also important to human health. And they're in that nutrient solution in a very small amount. And basically, the plant may or may not need to use those minerals, but they're available for take-up to help aid in the nutrition and the health of the plant. Also, I think, Mitra, one of the key differences in this tower tonic compared to, say, any organic fertilizer out there or any conventional fertilizer that's used in agriculture today, is that we stay away from ammonical nitrogen. And what I've learned in the science of this years that,
for those
go ahead.
That aren't chemists on the call, just explain monoclonal nitrogen versus other forms of nitrogen. How do you even spell that word?
Sure. Well, ammonical nitrogen is ammonia. It's NH4, and nitrate nitrogen is NO3. And here's how I'd compare the two in the world of complex plants, not grasses, because ammonical nitrogen is important for grasses, but in complex plants like beans and herbs and lettuces and things like that, ammonia-based nitrogen, that would be like in comparison to table sugar to people, just straight old sucrose. Nitrate nitrogen I would view more as a complex carbohydrate. And in relationship to the plant. So if you put a monoclonal nitrogen around a plant, it's just going to force quick explosive growth. That's why modern farmers use anhydrous ammonia. When they get that quick explosive growth, what they do is they get weak cell structure. The most important component to every plant cell wall is calcium. And when a plant is forced to grow quick like that, it becomes more susceptible to insect damage and pest damage because it's just kind of unbalanced. Just like if we were to eat lots of table sugar, the same thing. We get quick energy, quick experience, and then we kind of have the downer later and our immune system is weakened and things like that, versus if we're eating a complex carbohydrate, which in my terms in the plant world, nitrate and nitrogen would be that source of nitrogen to the plant. And so that's one of the key differences. I would say right off the top, there are several dozen in the tower tonic, but that's one of the key differences that separates how we feed our plants. We feed them in a more balanced way, rich in calcium and rich in trace minerals that are important to people. And as far as I know, we're the only hydroponic in the world that's at least from a commercial perspective, that's out there that has this focus on human health and wellness and a balanced plant health and wellness, and that's what our approach is all about. And so it's quite a bit different than, say, what you would see out there in the traditional hydroponic industry.
And just to reiterate, maybe just to get the concept. So you're saying that the plants coming from the Tower Gardens are more nutrient dense for human consumption than even organic growing, because even organic growing is geared towards profit.
Well, they could be. If I was to state that fairly, they could be. Now, I don't like to throw organic growing under the bus by any means. I mean, it most definitely, the way we control our pests, if we were to get them on the Tower Garden, is all organic. We take a lot of concepts from organics and we use them. I think I've been studying scientific papers on hydroponics, conventional farming, and organic farming for almost 20 years now. I've been around it. Most of this research is really biased based upon what someone wants to get out of it. The truth of the matter is this, and this has always been my one simple answer. It doesn't matter. The most important thing to remember, whether you're a hydroponic grower, conventional grower, or organic grower, what are your growing conditions like in the soil and in the outdoor environment, and how good of a job are you doing at getting nutrition to the plant? So let's say, for example, where I grew up in western North Dakota, if you go to eastern North Dakota in the Red River Valley where the glacial melt-off left, 6 to 10 feet of black organic topsoil, I can assure you that any vegetable or weed or anything grown out of that soil is going to be more nutritious and probably healthier than something grown in the rocky, sandy soil of western North Dakota. So, and it isn't fair to say that one is necessarily better over the other, because there's a wide range in each one of those growing areas. But traditionally speaking, Mitra, it's my understanding, just from being in this industry for 20 years, that the modern organic farmer really isn't following the same principles of yesterday's organic farmer. They're shipping in organic fertilizers. In Florida, we ship, if we're an organic farmer, most of the big farmers are shipping in fertilizer from Pennsylvania and other states, and it's what we're finding is a lot of those fertilizers are contaminated with mercury and lead and other things. A lot of the USDA says that every lake, river, and stream in the United States is contaminated with mercury. So all these fish and different things that come out of these areas that are ground into fish emulsion and other organic products are actually contaminated, and we learned this through back in 2006 up in Pennsylvania. Future Growing had the first hydroponic organic certified operation, as far as we know, in the U.S. And we were determined to get that organic certification seal, and we were totally stunned in all these liquid products that we were buying in to find they were contaminated with heavy metals and sodium chloride, because they're basically industry byproducts. They're industry waste at the ground up into fertilizers is really what it amounts to. And so we just couldn't do it. And the beauty of hydroponics is that we can take, all these minerals in their purest form, dissolve them into water, and make them available to anybody in the world, no matter where they are. So all they have to do is provide the water. Mitra?
Sorry, I'm on mute and asking the question.
Okay.
I just want to harp on this point for one more second, because I had somebody ask me, so are the minerals organic? And I had a very hard time distinguishing. Look, minerals aren't organic. They're just from the earth, and they're very purified minerals, and what you're really getting out of the Tower solution is a very consistent delivery, as you said, of the minerals. So maybe there's a sweet way to answer that question. Is the mineral solution organic? What's a clever way to answer that? That's short and sweet, maybe, and simple.
Well, the minerals that we use are pretty much as we stand on the website. These are natural ionic earth minerals that are in their purest form. As an example, one of those minerals that we use is magnesium sulfate. And magnesium sulfate is also known as Epsom salts. So it's what most, probably almost every caller on the phone here is at one point in time, or if not every week, will take a bath in Epsom salts and hot water. And that is one of the purified salts, mineral salts, as an example, that we use in our tower tonic, which is a source of magnesium and sulfur, which are our two macro essential elements for the plants. So plants don't absorb organic matter. They absorb inorganic matter. So the confusion, I think, wherein lies is the organic standards. Organic standards were developed for field farmers. And what we've done in the world of hydroponics, and specifically with the tower tonic, we've bypassed all of nature's process of breaking organic stuff down into minerals plants can use. And then what we've done is we've taken the end product, the raw minerals, put them directly in solution and made them available to the plant.
So I'm just going to stop. This is all new to us. I'm going to stop and kind of distinguish things so people understand. Because the word organic gets thrown around, and it means a lot of different things to different people. There's organic certification, which obviously varies, and you're saying that some of these organic fertilizers today are contaminated with mercury and lead and all of that. And then there's the word organic as in organic chemistry, that those or you know bioproducts that are made out of carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, and yet what we're looking at is that plants are absorbing minerals, and minerals are inorganic, chemically speaking, they're inorganic matter, and organic refers to biomatter. So there's a distinction. Plants don't absorb like dead rotting flesh, for instance. They just absorb the minerals out of it.
Correct. I like that distinction because people throw around the word organics all the time, and many people today who are at farmers markets who are selling organic produce are not certified organic growers. And so the distinction in many states now is hydroponics is such a clean, safe, pure form of growing for farmers that are doing it correctly, I should say, that basically if you go into any health food store, they'll say all produce is organic with the exception of hydroponics, and they'll state right on there hydroponics cannot be certified organic, but the hydroponics will actually use the same materials and methods for pest control as organics. And, of course, we have that on the website. We show some of those simple organic pest control products that can be used. And also I think the important thing is in relation to the nutrition with the tower garden today, I mean, generally speaking, people are very concerned with, E. coli is in the news once again, salmonella. When you're growing produce in a field, one of the key things to keep in mind, like a leafy green, there's going to be rodents running through your field. There's going to be birds pooping on your produce. There's all kinds of things that go on in farm fields that you don't even want to know about. And so I often chuckle when I hear the government trying to control salmonella. It's impossible. You've got lizards, frogs, rodents. They're all going to run through your farm field. And that's why I believe that hydroponic produce is literally some of the safest, cleanest produce in the world. Over here on the East Coast, the majority of our high-end produce in Costco, Sam's, Publix, the high-end shopping centers, is coming from Canadian hydroponic greenhouses, many greenhouses, in fact, that we've partnered with to help them grow food like cucumber, lettuce, tomato, bell pepper, eggplant, comes out of these greenhouses. They're protected. There's no birds pooping on the plant. There's no rodents running through them, and the same would apply to your tower garden. It's up off the ground. It's up off the soil. The plant stays very clean. For people, Mitra, that if it's someone's first time tower garden and let's say they're not a gardener or they're just a part-time gardener, but they're really not that good at growing vegetables, one of the key things I tell people is to start off by growing lettuce, leafy greens, basil, things that you use a lot of that, again, you folks over in California and some of the West Coast states get very spoiled year-round with fresh local produce over there. But for the rest of us in other parts of the country, our food is shipped 3,000 miles or more. And by the time it hits us, it's kind of limp and weak and tasteless and in many cases contaminated. And so what I'll often tell people for a tower garden is that if you can grow your fresh leafy greens and vegetables, that is such a great start with the tower garden because they're easy to grow. They produce an abundance of food, and you don't really even have to wash it. Typically in your garden, you pull out the lettuce after it rains, and you're trying to, you know, wash off all the sand and crud. And that's one of the nicest things I'd say about the tower garden. It's just clean, simple, easy growing, no bending, weeding, or tilling. And you can, you know, you can. I was just in Austin a couple months back, and driving down the highway, and I passed two retirement buildings that had to be at least 30 or 40 stories, each room having a balcony, and each room facing the south on one side of the building. Every one of those balconies could have a tower garden growing produce for that individual as an example. And that's really been our vision, Mitra, is we're very aware of the horrible health crisis faced, the obesity, diabetes, and all these things facing the country. And my goal from infancy of developing the tower garden was to make gardening simple enough, to plug and play enough, to see one day I'd love to see every family in America have a tower garden or several tower gardens right in their own backyard, and not necessarily producing all their produce, but they can definitely produce a significant portion of produce that is high in fiber, high in nutrition, and doesn't have, you know, all the negative attributes to, I guess you'd say, modern packaged food that we're buying today.
That's great. As I'm sitting here, I'm looking out my office window at our towers, and I'll tell you, it is just such a pleasure to see all these different lettuces and kales and other greens growing. Now, we do want to make the distinction that you can't grow tubers in the tower, but
yes.
Maybe just speak to what you can grow and can't grow in the towers.
Absolutely, yes. Pretty much what we recommend for the tower garden is everything that is a leafy green or a vegetable that can be grown above ground. We could grow a tree and we could grow a bush in the tower garden. I'd recommend not to, because eventually that orange tree will tip your tower garden over. But it would grow very fast in a tower garden. But what we try to stick to is all the leafy greens and vegetables. The one unique thing that I mentioned, Mitra, about the tower garden, that another unique thing that separates itself from every other hydroponic growing system out there is that typically hydroponics, you have a growing system for veggies, and then you have a growing system for your big, tall vine crops. And what we want to do is have a kind of a one-size-fits-all. So we can grow everything from a watermelon on the tower garden to lettuces, and we just say as a rule of thumb, we tell people to grow in the shape of a pyramid, small stuff on the top and bigger stuff towards the bottom. So as an example, we might plant an indeterminate tomato, which is a tomato that can eventually become 20 feet long, or a cucumber, or a watermelon, and we will grow that on the lower pots and grow them away from the tower garden and up trellises. And then in the middle of the tower garden, we might grow something like a bush bean, and then towards the top, we grow our lettuces and herbs. Or in other cases, we have in my backyard, for example, my wife Jessica and I and our little daughter Ava now grow everything for our own home and for our neighbors and our family members. So we have six tower gardens, and we'll grow a couple tower gardens with lettuce and one with herbs and one with veggies. And the ones that we grow our vining crops on, we grow smaller herbs up above. I think Mitra has seen a few of those pictures on the blog, how we do that. But the concept is really simple in that way. And I will tell you, Mitra, one of the things that also kind of inspired the tower garden to be the way it was, when I had initially moved to Florida in 1992, I never had a sensitivity to any allergies or chemicals. And something happened when I moved from that Dakota environment to Florida. I think it was the humid air and all the molds in the air here just set my body for a loop. And within about a year, I became chemically sensitive and struggled for several years with just extreme, you know, I would sneeze until my body couldn't get another sneeze out. It was that bad. And so what I learned is that through changing my diet, I tried eating, you know, organic food. I went to the health food stores and nothing really seemed to help me. And I had met an herbalist that talked to me about growing in my own backyard. So I back then I grew on a more a different version of the tower garden, considerably, but as I started eating this fresh food out of my own backyard, my health just started transforming. I can't explain it any other way than that. And actually just cured myself of my chronic situation just by changing my diet, by getting bad things out of my diet, and by eating the majority of food out of my backyard. And so I started sharing that story with my family, and I started helping all my family members and friends. And then what happened is I became the default gardener. They had to call me every time they needed help. And so that was the other part of the Tower Garden was that excited me about making it plug and play, that we had to develop some type of turnkey growing system that was simple enough so the average person, you know, could pour the minerals in there, could have their little pH test kit, and it was just simple. So Mitra could be sitting on this phone call and looking out her window and seeing her plants grow, which most hydroponic systems just aren't that simple. They want you to buy an arsenal of several thousand dollars worth of testing equipment, and they make it overcomplicated. So I think that's another piece to the puzzle that we're just talking about here that are really going to, you know, that make this product very successful and simple.
That's great. And maybe we want to talk a little bit about the energy conservation and the natural resource conservation aspect a little bit about Tower Gardens.
Oh, absolutely. Carbon footprint and green has always been a very important component. I'm a futurist at heart, and if humanity is going to turn away from this path of self-destruction, which that's the path we're on, truthfully, and we've got to do things differently. Several years back, I built a hydroponic and aquaponic rooftop in Central Florida, and I'd get people up on the rooftop, and I would show them the downtown area, and I'd say, does anybody know where their lettuce comes from? And most people didn't. And I'd say, well, it comes from California, Arizona, at least 3,000 miles away, if not another country. And so the concept is how could someone in New York City or in Florida, where they're not growing lettuce, produce lettuce in their own backyard right there? Something that, you know, these simple leafy greens and simple vegetables that grow quickly, just the simple fact of growing them right in the comfort of your own backyard or your own business eliminates the carbon footprint, eliminates the petrochemical to grow the plant, eliminates the petroleum to harvest it, the gases used to keep the veggies fresh in the bag, the fuel to ship it across the country, the fuel to chill it when it gets here, goes through several distribution centers, and it's chilled again in your grocery store. The amount of energy that goes into lettuce is phenomenal, and leafy greens and other leafy vegetables. So just the raw fact of growing in your backyard really shrinks that carbon footprint. And the pump uses very little energy. It's the pump in the Tower Garden. It's literally pennies a month to keep your Tower Garden watered. So that's just not a big part of it. And then the other thing would be water. We know right now it doesn't seem like we have a water issue in the U.S. with all this flooding and rain we're getting. But what most people don't realize is that most of the rainwater and flooding does not go back into the ground to create groundwater. So a lot of the water that we use in the U.S. comes from the ground, and it comes from river sources that also come from the ground. And so places like the West Coast of the United States, we literally right now have billionaires from around the world gobbling up land in the U.S. that has water rights under it, because that's going to be the new gold. It's going to be water, not gold. I chuckle when I hear about people buying gold, because it's not going to mean anything if people can't drink and they don't have water to grow their farm fields. So it's a real issue. In fact, we've already heard of legislation being proposed. It hasn't made it to the floor yet, but being proposed in California that to restricting any water used for homeowners to micro-irrigation and potted systems. They're looking at not even allowing growing in the ground because of just the raw fact that of the amount of water it takes to do that. Once you water, the majority of that water is going to evaporate or go somewhere in the soil where the plant can't use it. So what a tremendous opportunity, I think, in the coming future, for the Tower Garden in a place like that where we're going to only use 5 to 10% of the water that we're using in the field, because we continually recycle 100% of the nutrients in the water, and we're only using the only water being used is what the plant, what goes into the plant, or what the plant is transpiring through the leaf, and we're not losing any off the evaporation or the surface of the soil. And I think the other green component to that is, again, we talked about transportation, but also chemical use. When you or organic chemicals, or if something says organic, it was actually sprayed with more chemicals than conventional agriculture tradition. But those chemicals are what they call organic safe chemicals. They're soaps, there's oil, they're fish emulsion. And I have to be honest with you, for everybody on this call, I would prefer never to eat a leafy green that's been sprayed with fish emulsion, because I know what's in fish emulsion, and there's a lot of contaminants in fish emulsion and just icky stuff in fish emulsion. So I would prefer myself not to eat a leafy green sprayed with that. So that requires a carbon footprint to keep these organic plants fertilized and sprayed and pest control in the field. The tower garden, just by the concept of getting those plants off and out of the ground, we're keeping that plant clean and away from many soil-borne insects. Now, there are insects that can still fly through the air and still get on the tower garden, but they tend to be much less than what gets in the soil. And I often tell people, if you have your tower garden in a place where you get full sun and a nice breeze, the majority of our tower garden owners don't even really deal with the pest issue. Their plants grow so fast and they harvest the food so quickly that it's not like a conventional garden where the plant sits out there for months waiting to be harvested. In a tower garden, the plant is there for weeks and then you're cutting off of it. And in Florida, we can plant a bunch of gourmet mix, start harvesting 3 weeks after transplant, and during the winter months in Florida, when the season's cool, we can harvest off that lettuce about 5 or 6 times without even putting a new one in there. So I would say, Mitra, those would be some of the key green points and sustainable points associated with the tower garden. And I would want to end this comment on saying that as an organization or a group, we never want to use language that beats up organic growing, because organic growing has led us in a wonderful direction away from the harmful ways of conventional agriculture. And organic growing has actually helped create soft, environmentally friendly chemicals that conventional agriculture is now using. So we just want to promote the positive attributes of the tower garden, that I'm growing green, I'm growing healthy, I'm growing right in my own backyard. And I'll often tell people, too, is that if you do live somewhere in the U.S. where you've got a great garden in your backyard, awesome. And what we'd say is partner it up with the tower garden and use your garden to grow your tuber crops and things like that, and use your tower garden to grow your leafy greens and herbs that you don't want to constantly be washing sand and dirt off and things like that. And so use them together in partnership.
Great. And what about, maybe speak a little bit about the plastic you use to make the towers as well?
Yes, what a great question. That's a fantastic question. Huge tragedy in what's happening right now in the world of backyard gardening. You could go to any bookstore and open up a magazine and just see all the pot garden designs and these plastic timbers for gardens, and I mean, it's just everywhere out there. And I could tell you, as a matter of fact, that if you go buy a pot from Home Depot at Lowe's today, two companies that have become price point companies, I almost think of, when I go into Home Depot now, I almost feel like I'm in a dollar store, literally, because that's the quality of most everything there. It's just become price point. I could buy a $20 plastic pot, and 1 year later, the pot is already changing color and becoming brittle. Now, what happens when plastic changes color and becomes brittle? It means that quality of that plastic was very low, not very UV stabilized. And when a plastic becomes brittle and changes color, that means the liquid plasticizers used to make the plastic are now leaching out right back into the environment. So when I see people growing veggies in buckets, it just makes me shake, because I'm like, we're just growing in a pot of chemicals that's getting beaten on the sun. So, and hydroponics is full of plastics that aren't really designed for food consumption and that aren't UV stabilized. So one of the key goals with the tower garden was to utilize plastic that was number one, light and color, so it could reflect the sunlight back to the plants and keep the roots cool. Very important in the summer heat to keep the roots cool, as it helps keep the plant healthy, and to use a food-safe plastic. So it costs us a lot of extra money to purchase food-safe plastic, and also to use a light plastic. The lighter you get, the less UV stabilized a plastic is, and so we had to add a lot of white colorant back into the plastic to make it opaque, because we don't want that sunlight to go through the plastic. So this way we eliminate algae growth inside the tower. We help keep the tower cool inside, and we make sure that it's well UV stabilized for years and years of outdoor use. Now with white plastic, you can never escape anything that's white. You know, a fence or a white painted home, you can never escape a little bit of dustiness or dirtiness over time, just because the color is white and anything dark will show up on it. But you can take one of our tower garden parts and literally hold it up to the sunlight, and you're not going to see light coming through. And that's an important part of the plastic, because if sunlight is easily getting into the plastic, that means it's breaking the plastic down from the inside out. So by UV stabilizing it and keeping the light out of the plastic, number one, is one of the ways that we keep that plant stable and safe for years to come. So what we're using in the tower garden for all those white components that you see that make the tower garden is the best possible plastic we can possibly use for food production and outdoor growing.
That's awesome. And then there are some systems that use sort of indoor lighting. And maybe just one last question. I really want to open it up to questions, but I've been kind of hogging your time with the questions. Just, we've talked about indoor lighting versus the natural light and the spectrum of light, maybe speaking a little bit to that.
I would be happy to. And by the way, these are great questions, and I'm glad you're asking them, because I could talk all day on stuff that might not matter to you or your group. But lighting, most people don't realize that food crops are highlight crops. So things that grow under, cheap economical grow lights are houseplants. They're tropical foliage, and tropical foliage historically comes from the forest floor of tropical countries, where they get about 20 or 30% light. And so they don't need a lot of light to grow, but veggie crops do. They need full sun. They take that sunlight and they store it into energy, and they use that stored energy to grow and produce fruits and flowers and leaves and things like that. So robust, complete spectrum. Nothing beats the good old natural sunlight. But we can grow hydroponically indoors, but if you want results, you need to use what we call a high output light. So the fluorescent lights and things like that just aren't going to produce, in my opinion, from everything I've ever seen, a nice, healthy, robust leaves. I remember back in 2007, I purchased an AeroGarden, a little kitchen countertop hydroponic kit that uses fluorescent bulbs. And they had me run the bulbs we did a test side by side at the tower garden. And we did the tower garden outdoors, of course, and we ran those bulbs, fluorescent bulbs, 18 hours a day. And after 30 days, we harvested 6.6 ounces of tasteless lettuce, which isn't even one planting spot on a tower garden. So it goes to show that light and nutrition definitely influence the flavor and the health of the plant. So if you were to use a tower garden indoors, my suggestion is a light called metal halide. I would use at least a 250-watt metal halide, use a couple of them over the plant. The Whole Foods in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania, which is a Philly of suburb, for those of you that don't know that, they grow several tower gardens in their produce section at that Whole Foods, and that's what they do there. They put about two 250-watt grow lights on either side of the tower, and they rotate the tower, turn each day, and that seems to be work pretty well. But that light also needs to be a hydroponic metal halide. They have the type of reflector and grow bulb that has the best spectrum. I would stay away from lights that are called high-pressure sodium. They're used quite frequently in hydroponics, but they are a red light, and they will irritate you to no end. So metal halide is a nice white-blue light that not only is great for the plant, but it's also enjoyable for people that are walking around the light. And also the metal halide will also help stimulate that vitamin D conversion in the human body as well.
Okay, well, that's really good to know. We have like 8 minutes left, so I just want to open it up to any questions. So if you have a burning question left after all that you've heard, just hit *6 and ask away. Did we answer all the questions? Larry, I know you have a question.
Either that or they've all fallen asleep. I'm not sure.
I got a question, but it's about the call itself. Will it be available recorded somewhere?
Yes. Don't you want the whole world to hear this call?
Yeah.
Yes. Really great. Great information. And what I'm hearing, Tim, is that, you know, first of all, we all have such huge respect for Jay Martin, the president of our company. With Juice Plus, we changed the world of supplementation. And, you know, when I give my health seminars, the two things I think that make the biggest difference for our health is a whole food supplement like Juice Plus that provides such incredible bioavailable nutrition that you just cannot eat every day. And the second thing is to get a lot of leafy greens into your body, and I promote the green drink for that purpose. And I'll tell you, my green drinks have never tasted better than the kale that I'm plucking off my towers. So I just feel like for myself personally, my you know, the two things that I promote the most have come together, and Jay Martin is such a visionary, and of course you are, Tim, and it's fate that brought you and Jay together, and I just feel very, very privileged to be on this call, and I'm sure the rest of you that have heard this information, you know, it gives me goosebumps to think what we can do to help people become more healthy and the tools that we have. I don't know anything else that would be more powerful as far as impacting people's health. So thank you very much. Any other questions before we close the call? And it is recorded, so we will be sending out the announcement on that.
I just want to add one quick comment to that, Mitra, is that two of the bottles, the vineyard and the fruit, the fruits, cannot be grown in the tower garden. So that's one of the great compliments of the tower garden. And the other thing is that like you, my wife and I, pull we juice off the tower garden every morning. That's our breakfast, and take Juice Plus in addition to that. So I think it's the combination of the two that falls into exactly what you just said there.
Thanks. We heard a few questions.
I have one question.
Yeah.
It's Randy up in Campbell River.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
Good. I guess it's one of those things that I know the consumer is very price conscious, but what's stopping somebody like Walmart having them something similar in there for $49.95?
That's a fantastic question. Hydroponics has been around for years, and they've. Different stores have tried different things, and they've come and gone. And one of the key things that Jay Martin saw with this product, there were people in Juice Plus using the Tower Garden. And I didn't realize this earlier on that people come to Jay with products every day, and he pretty much turns down the world. And he was at the convention here in October, and he went to Dr. Jan Young's hotel room. She had two Tower Gardens, 4 weeks old, with, you know, lettuce, just growing everywhere. And when he made that physical connection with the Tower Garden, he had an instant relationship with the Tower Garden. He could touch, taste, smell, feel. The Tower Garden is not something you sell in a box. It's very similar to Juice Plus. It's a relationship. It's touching, tasting, smelling, feeling. I did multiple presentations to the entire Juice Plus, upper team there. And they were all blown away by it, but when they came to Florida and walked through the facility and touched, tasted, smelled, and ate off the Tower Garden, their excitement went from 100% to 1,000%. And it's all about creating a social setting, a social opportunity to let people interact with the tower. Someone might create something for $49.95 or $99 or $199, and I'll tell you it will not. I understand hydroponics in and out. We will be able to outdo and outperform whatever comes out there. We're so far ahead of the curve on what we have right now, but it also takes finances and funding to do what we do. So I think we're well protected from that ever happening. And what we will find is that because of the quality of the product, and also, I can't speak of it yet, but there's going to be a lot of changes coming to the Tower Garden and additional product line in the years to come that are kind of already in the pipeline here. So other people with poorer quality products will only help the Tower Garden, to be honest with you.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead. One last question.
Yeah, this is Lisa in Denver, and can you just quickly speak to what we would do in the wintertime when we have harsh conditions? How would we do have, you know, here in Colorado, we have really sunny days occasionally in Colorado and then a blizzard. So would it be okay to put it indoors, or how can you just speak to that?
Absolutely. That's such a fantastic question. My sister Kathy, who's also a distributor, is up in Western North Dakota. So this has been an insane year for weather conditions. I don't think any of us have ever seen anything like it in our lifetime, what we've seen happen this summer between cold and heat and tornadoes and wind. It's been something else. You know, Elton over there at NSA said it best. He said, you know, I've been a gardener for 50 years, and the thing we got to remember about the Tower Garden is it's a machine to produce food. It extends your growing season. It makes gardening easier. It isn't a magic bullet, and so the Tower Garden, one of the ways that we've combated the cold is that we have a submersible heater that goes down inside the tub. So as an example, we have a lot of Amish and Mennonite growers that use our technology up in Pennsylvania and Indiana and Ohio, and I remember giving a workshop up there March 27th a couple of years ago, and it snowed the next day. And they basically had their Tower Gardens outside with a submersible heater in there, which they just used during the cold events, which will allow you to start your crop several weeks prior to everybody else and keep it going several weeks later. You know, we grew 9 months on a rooftop in Manhattan by the use of these heaters. And what the heater does is it recirculates warm water, so the microclimate of the Tower Garden is about 65 degrees. So that piece of technology itself kind of extends your growing season and will help buffer on those cold nights or something like that. And additionally, the Tower Garden has wheels. So I know a lot of people that literally on the nights it's going to frost or freeze, they just roll the Tower Garden right inside their door for the night. And you can't do that with a regular garden. So there's different ways of getting around that. And then lastly will be grow lights. And I can tell you as a matter of fact that grow lights will be one of the key priorities to develop for the Tower Garden. We're kind of juggling around whether we're going to use an LED system or a high-intensity light system. So we've got to do a little bit of research on where we want to go and what the price point will be. But I imagine in the very near future that we will have lighting available to specifically that will attach to the Tower Garden that will allow people like yourself in the northern climates during winter to grow right inside your own home.
Excellent. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, I know we could talk forever. Thank you so much for your time, Tim. And I'm probably, if you buy a tower and you're a distributor, you can buy a tower. We're going to send out another announcement on the specifics on that. And we will probably hear from Tim more, and certainly he'll be at the conference. For those of you that are coming to the Seattle Summit, you get to meet him in a smaller setting. I highly recommend that you go to NWJPA, short for Northwest Juice Plus Association, nwjpa.org, and register for the Seattle Summit Boot Camp so you can meet Tim in an intimate setting. And we're just very privileged to sort of pre-launch the Tower Gardens to distributors at the Seattle Summit prior to the fall conference. And thank you again for your time, Tim.
You're welcome. It's going to be a lot of fun, Mitra. Looking forward to the boot camp.
All right, great. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.